If you're receiving this transmission, then this operation is a success. Dr. Nick and the hot Aussie chick are in the house and ready to dissect blackjack, poker, and everything in between.
Want to say something?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whatever time it is, you are listening to Dr. Nick.
And me, sick in bed, which would be the hot Aussie chick.
The sick Aussie chick today, is that what you're
but
saying?
But the show must go on, right?
I guess so.
Will. I'm sorry about calling you in the middle of the night.
Oh, yes, everybody should know that Miss Adams called me at about midnight or 1 a.m., my time here in Las Vegas, and which mm-hmm. is only about 5 p.m. Is it 7 hours difference, 24 hours later?
No, it was like midnight my time. I don't know what time it was there.
Oh, so yeah, it was about six or seven.
It was later. I don't even know what time it was. I was dealing with puke and stuff.
Oh, yes. So Danielle called me and asked me whether or not if someone could die from a fever. To which I responded, it is very, very unlikely, although still possible.
No, yes, still possible. I need percentages. I need percentages, end of story. You know, it's like, can you be beaten with pocket aces? Probably not, but it's still possible, you know, in a certain situation. Well, I want to know the percentages of possibility. Anyway, yes. I didn't sleep much. I had a fever. I didn't sleep.
Well,
I've had an awful few days. Do you want to hear about them?
Well, why don't we get into that in a little bit of in a few minutes?
Because... No, I'll tell you what we should do. We should get Dr. Schoonmaker back on so I can tell him about my awful few days because he's a psychologist, right?
And he will probably you'll probably cause him to go to a psychiatrist.
Probably.
A psychologist.
All right, what are we talking about today?
I think we have to clear something up. We have to make a little statement. A couple of weeks ago, we had promised an interview with a author under the pen name of Sia Leda, which is obviously a pen name. And
Sia Leda Alligator.
Yes, I suppose. But the premise of the book was about a woman who dressed up as a man to play poker. And we had an interview the other day with her, about a half hour long, and for various reasons, we decided not to air that and not to put it on. And I think just because I think a lot of her premises were flawed and a lot of her conclusions were flawed. And she's...
No offense, Sia.
Well, just because of the fact that she is making the rounds to sell a book... And there's nothing wrong with that. She has every right to do that.
Of course not. We had Dr. Schoonmaker on, and obviously he wants to sell books.
But right.
His books are full of knowledge relating to, you know, his experience and his education with psychology and poker. You know,
yeah, both
PhDs.
Yeah, both from an academic point of view. But I think after some discussion with myself and some other gambling professionals, and with you, Danielle, who was a professional poker player, a professional woman poker player for several years, we just decided that it wasn't, it wouldn't have been beneficial for our listeners. Yeah, for the movement of female poker players in general.
It could have been entertaining, but I didn't want to say anything.
Right, right. Well, why don't you just give us some...
I was silent.
Why don't you just give us some insight about what are your thoughts about the whole situation was, coming from that background of a professional female poker player?
Well, okay, so basically Sia was interviewed. We don't know her name. I mean, this could be someone I know. I don't recognize her voice. It's like, you know, it could be anyone. And, you know, if I'm going to offend her, I'm sorry again. I completely disagreed with almost everything. That's the summary.
Okay.
You know, if I'm a female poker player, going up against men and men are trying to bully me, well, you know, obviously I'm going to be happy with that. They're shoving their chips my way. I'm not going to get myself in situations where I'm going to have a shitty hand and get outdone. And if we were to talk about bluffs as an example, after a certain amount of table presence and table time, you know, just like a male poker player, a woman's going to be feared.
Right.
You know, obviously she's going to be able to bluff. I mean, the point is there wasn't much I agreed with. I mean, you asked me during the interview, did you not? Do you have anything to say? My reply was, nope.
Right.
I've just said 200 words, and now I, in the interview, said one.
Right.
So I didn't want to be nasty. I would challenge the lady. And I put a question up on Women's Poker World. And the question was, would you dress up as a male poker player? And if so, what would the advantages be? And everyone's like, hell no. I want to use my female advantages against them. I want to kick their ass. So that's the reply so far.
And there,
no, there's no woman.
I was going to say, there are some, you know, outstanding women poker players over the years. Jennifer Harmon comes to mind. Vanessa Russo and Leah, mm-hmm. Jennifer Tilly as well. So
let's not forget the thousands of women poker players that are professionals that aren't no names.
Right, right, exactly. A lot of cash players that you never heard of, right?
Right, exactly.
So
yeah.
So at the end of the day, we decided not to air the interview. Although there are some insights there that may or may not be valuable. Admittedly, I had not read the book. I read a few excerpts from it, but it sounded like it could be entertaining. But from the look of it, I didn't know whether she was more of an online player or a live player, or what the case was. But
actually listened to a Gambling with the Edge interview with Sia.
Yes,
and it seems she started online. She determined that if she changed her avatar to a male avatar, that she believed that she had more respect at the tables and she won more money. So I think, you know, it went from there, but I don't know how much live poker she's played.
Right, right. And we didn't get into that too much.
Yeah,
but no, I mean,
Not in anything I've heard or read.
For example, she gave an example where she said if she had pocket aces and she raised, she wasn't getting much respect, and, you know, she would get in, you know, seven or eight callers or something like that. But In my very limited time of playing poker, I found that, you know, when you have pocket aces, I'll take eight callers all day long, because you're a 3-to-1 favorite against any other two cards.
Well, no one would disagree with that,
right?
Well, except Sia. But I think she was trying to make a point. I think that there was no respect for her raises,
right?
And that she would, you know, by the time flop if every single person's called, her point was that, you know, there's a lot higher chance of being beaten.
Oh, absolutely.
Holding up.
Absolutely.
But the point's just invalid.
Right.
I don't see that happening. I've never seen that happen, actually. I don't know any man that's going to be stupid enough to bring their male ego or their testosterone to the table. And let's say it happens once, okay? Just once. Let's say we're talking tournament poker here, right?
Right.
And just once you raise with pocket aces, and this is a female, raises with pocket aces, and all the men call,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then there's a showdown, or there's not a showdown, or you're shoving, or whatever's happening, right? And those guys see those pocket aces where you think they're really going to do it again?
Right. Now, let me ask you, here's just a general question I have. If you have pocket aces, you get a bunch of callers, and say an ace hits the board on the flop, mm-hmm. and then you raise again, and you're very aggressive, and say everybody folds, and then the turn comes, and you raise again, and then maybe everybody but two people are out, and then the river comes, and you raise again, a very, very aggressive play, you know, with a set of aces, and everybody folds. Would you show your hand in that situation, or would you hide it?
Well, if it's like Sia was saying, and the men are bullying her around and having no respect for her raises, if this is like the first time, you know, this has happened, I'm going to be showing them. And the reason I'm going to be showing them is because later on, when I'm raising, they're going to think probably she has pocket aces again, and I can pull off bluffs then.
Right.
It depends. It depends on the situation,
Well, I think that goes
obviously.
with any unknown player at the table. Obviously, if she's dressing up like a man,
Correct.
she doesn't really, no one knows who this person is. So obviously, maybe that has more to do with it if this person doesn't know. Like when we talked with Alan Shoemaker last time regarding Isildur, is that the guy's name? The guy who was online and was beating all those guys turning
Isildur.
Isil what? Well, again,
Yes.
nobody knew who he
Now you
was.
confuse me.
Well, what was his name?
No.
Yes,
Isildur.
Isildur, right? So he was getting
Isildur.
Isildur. Okay, I'm sorry, but he was getting all sorts of calls, and he was having strong cards. And then that, and I don't think it had to do with them, he was a man or a woman. Just people didn't know who he was, so they didn't know how he played. So that
Right,
could be a
correct.
situation as well. But in any event, it seems like could be an entertaining book. And if people want to see what it's about, I do definitely do encourage them to go to Amazon or wherever and pick it up for the meager price of probably $15.99 or $19.99 or whatever the price would be.
And just remember, though, let's just remember that this is not a book by Doyle Brunson or anything like that. We don't even know who's written this book, so we're not encouraging it by
Well,
any means as a strategy book.
no, not at all. I mean, we're just taking it as a face value, as a book about a poker player who may or may not have tons of experience, who may or may not be an amateur. We just don't know yet.
Who may or may not have dressed up as a man hundreds of times
Right.
using special effects makeup. It's
Right.
very costly
Oh,
expense. It would
would
be
be.
expensive
It
to
would
do
be.
that.
It would be. But she seemed nice enough, so
With
we took
all
a
of that
shot.
said, one of the things that was in the interview that I want to mention, and mention specifically, even though lots of our listeners may not like casinos, the World Series of Poker or casino, staff, pit bosses, whatever, the casino staff at the World Series of Poker, the ones that are setting up the event, you've got like Jack Effel and Seth Polensky, etc., etc. Really, their decisions in relation to these things should be respected. These guys are looking at poker as a whole. The lady or man, whichever she would actually be, I don't know. I don't even know. We don't know who this person is. It could be a man.
Right.
Anyway, whatever.
Yes.
They want to play in the World Series of Poker. They believe that it's sexist to have a women's only tournament, and they've been told if you dress as a man and you're not coming on into the tournament, that it's not acceptable because of things that happen with Phil Lark and blah 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 blah. I'm with the staff of WSOP all the way. If people go pulling stunts, swapping genders, and dressing themselves up as elderly so they can enter age tournaments, and that just makes a mockery of everyone in poker. Honestly, have some respect.
I suppose,
Anyway, that is all.
but we're going to change gears a little bit. I have a little bit of a beef with the WSOP. Recently, I had applied for my media credentials, and I was rejected. Now, for those who don't know, I'm a pretty
You were?
I was rejected. Yes, they said they refused to issue my credentials, which is kind of strange because I've been issued credentials every time before. Now, I have a pretty a reasonably impressive resume. I've written probably over 200 articles on gaming for various companies, including Forbes magazine, Gambling with the Edge, which is the Las Vegas Advisor, gambling site. I have also I've written for Gambling Insider, which is a huge
Okay.
trade
We've heard this
practice.
before. Let's
So,
just see. We
well.
understand. You're impressive.
Well,
Continue.
I'm just telling you, it's
Experience.
experience. Yeah, so they rejected it, and the only thing that I can think of it has to probably stem from an incident, one of two incidents, I'm assuming. Several years ago, Caesars Entertainment did something to me that kicking me out of one of their hotels after I won a little bit of money, and they walked in and barged into my room at two in the morning or whatever time it was. I can't remember because the exact time, but
Wow, you have more drama than me.
well, this was a long time ago. But they came into my room and told me I had to leave, and I asked why. They didn't give me an explanation. There was four or five security guards there, so I said okay. I closed the door and I began to pack my things at the hour, and then they opened the door again and began taking pictures of me. And this
So
was,
you think this is a place?
well, it could be that, or there's another one, an incident, but I ended up filing litigation against them and sued for a decent amount of money with my attorney, Bob Nersesian, who is the author of Gambling, or The Law for Gamblers and Beat the Player, two great books on gambling and law, and how sometimes the blackjack or the players are mistreated by the casinos and casino security staff. So that could be one reason, or another reason was I was not too long ago, a while ago, I was playing at a casino in Las Vegas, and they accused me of cheating, and I was arrested and processed and spent some time, a few days in the jail, so it's like get the bonds and everything together. Yeah, it was the Clark County Resort, full RFB, room with food and beverage. But in any event, the case was ultimately dismissed, and because they knew the allegations were nonsense. In both instances, I do believe that they figured out who I was and were trying to make things very difficult for me. And it's my opinion that casinos tend to have great influence on the local politics of Las Vegas. So those are could be two issues, and we are pursuing litigation against the Nevada Gaming Board at this time as well,
Oh, well, it's, you
for some
wonder
things, for some things related to this particular incident. Well, again, Bob Nersesian is my attorney. Him.
should you even be talking about all of this?
Well, we're.
Do you think this is going to help you get your media credentials?
I don't. I've given up at that point on this, because the media credentials at the to be honest with you, what I really like about the media credentials in a lot of these tournaments is the free food and drinks and everything, because they have a great spread.
Which media room are you going to?
The Super High Roller Bowl, not so much the WSOP. That's a pretty lame event to be, or pretty.
Ah, hush, hush. Or we'll have everyone
Meh.
overrunning the rooms and
Yeah.
playing,
Get free stuff. Well, there's no real free stuff there. So, yeah, but that's the only thing that I didn't like. But in any event, that's where we're at with my
No one
opinions
cares
on
about
the
your
other
media
stuff.
credentials,
Well,
only you.
I'm just saying it's
What's your point here?
my point is that the WSOP
Oh,
really,
because I said I have full respect for their decision.
Yeah,
Okay, well.
I really don't have a whole. Well, it's a great event, and they pocket a bunch of money from it. The Colossus event alone probably makes them several million dollars. But what I'm just saying is that it's. There's two ways to look at it. There's two sides to every story. So let's just keep that in mind. But in any event, now that we've gotten those couple things out of the way, this past weekend was the 22nd annual Blackjack Ball.
It was,
It
yes. I want to
was.
hear all about it.
It
What
was.
happened? Where was it? Who was there? You can't tell me any of that. You can't tell any of us that, can
Well, I
you?
can tell you who was there, and I can tell you.
You can?
Yeah, I can tell you who was there and who got inducted, who the newest member of the Blackjack Hall of Fame is. And kind of what goes on there, and
Well, come
what it
on
is.
then, get to
Okay,
it, snip
well,
snap.
all right. Well, the Blackjack Ball, as people may or may not know, is a yearly gathering of probably the top 100, 110 most prolific gamblers and gambling influencers in the current era. They, at some point, have all won buku bucks from the casinos. In their own right, and either have developed or been on teams that made a bunch of money or developed new techniques or whatever the case may be.
In other words, you're not going to see anyone like me there.
There's only a
You're
couple
going
there's a
to.
couple poker players who end up going there.
No, I mean like anyone of my level. We're talking the level way above that. So anyone that thinks it's in,
We are talking you've heard of the 99%? I say this is probably the 99.99999% Youngers, right? Some now it's originally it's hosted by Max Rubin, and this year also by Richard Munchkin, who helped him out quite a bit doing things done, getting things done.
Oh, that was nice.
Yes, Max Rubin wrote the book Comp City, and it's published at the Huntington Press or huntingtonpress.com, so you can get there. But it just gives you techniques and how to increase your comp rating among casinos, things like that. But he's probably one of the greatest
So
big
they hosted
players.
it.
Yes, he's probably one of the greatest big BPs of all time. Big players with the guys who put on the show, and with the big acts and the big personalities and the big gamblers. Kenny Houston was another one who wrote the book, obviously the big player. But in any event, it was hosted by those two gentlemen at an undisclosed location, and we you just want me to walk you through the night and how it all goes down, and then we can talk about who was there. So we'll just do that, okay?
Okay, I'm
All
just
right.
waiting patiently.
All right. So what happened at the Blackjack Bell? This would usually happens at about 5 o'clock. The guests start arriving. I'm usually there a little bit beforehand, and some attendees are people like Arnold Snyder, who's written a lot of
Well,
the book.
let's do the attendees later. Let's
Okay.
just hear about the ball, because I'm gonna get all mixed up. I want to know exactly what happens at this
Oh,
scene.
okay. Well, what we do is we go, like I said, more or less, it's just sort of a mingling between professional players, just a chance for people to get together and trade war stories about what's happened to them and what they're doing, and see if we can, maybe somehow work together. So around 5 o'clock, all the guests start showing up, and people have to bring a bottle of premium champagne, whether a Dom Perignon or a Monette or a Cristal or a Tanqueray or whatever the case may be. Now, preferably, it works better if, or the story is better if you get it comped by a casino. This is a one more stick it to you type.
Really?
Yeah, yeah,
Wow.
yeah. So some players do that. So we start mingling. Cocktail hours are between like 7 or 5 and 7:30. So people are talking and seeing how catching up with each other. And at about 7 o'clock, there's a dinner time. Well, during the cocktail hour, everybody has, it's an open bar, and we get champagne and we talk. And I rarely drink. I mean, very rarely do I have a you'll see me with a alcohol in my hand, but I usually have a couple glasses of champagne during this thing. And we talk, and we mingle. Around 7 o'clock, dinner rolls around, and then there is a the inductees into the Blackjack Hall of Fame. And some of the nominees this year were a couple pretty well-known people. There was actually three women on the ballot this year, which is last
Oh,
year.
wow,
Yeah,
that's great.
last year there was only one, and now three. And I think there's only been a couple spread sporadically. She didn't win though, unfortunately. Though any of the women didn't win, but who got in was a guy named Wally Simmons, who was a longtime blackjack veteran. He's probably in his 70s now, but he is
Oh,
credit.
wow.
Yeah, he's not active anymore, but he's credited with a lot of the first techniques beyond just basic card counting,
Right.
like whole card play, for example, or shuffle tracking or bottom card steering. He developed a lot of those plays early on and used them quite successfully as well.
Well, congrats to Wally. That's
Yes,
awesome.
it was. So after that, he gives his little induction speech, and everybody is, congratulatory to him. And then they have what they call the Calcutta. Now, the Calcutta is, it's sort of like it decides who becomes the world's greatest, or who gets awarded the world's greatest blackjack player of 2017 and 2018. So
Well,
it's a
no. Well, whatever year you're in,
Oh yeah,
right? You
exactly.
don't get it for
For
like both years.
no,
It's for
well,
one year,
you get
right?
it. You get it for the next. You get bragging rights for the next year, so to speak.
Right.
So, and there are a list of players, several different players, and then you kind of break them up into teams and whatnot. Now, the way Calcutta works is at the entrance, at the door, you have to give $20, and that goes into the pot. And then you have an option to bet on who's going to win. And you take it by the player, the individual player, who's going to win. And so the prize money this year was about $18,000 for first prize. So pretty decent amount.
Wow.
Yes, it was.
Wow.
And the nice thing about it is the bidding
And
goes.
you bet.
Oh,
You
I
bet on someone, Joel?
no, I didn't bet on anybody this year.
Okay.
But
Well.
well, how it works is too, a player, say I can bid on myself. So I can own about, I can bet up to 50% of my winning. So if I bet on myself and I win, then I get like, say in this case it was $18,000. I'm guaranteed at least 9,000. So it's a pretty decent
You
amount.
didn't think you'd win?
Oh God, no. I mean, I
Right,
the
okay, just
the
checking.
questions are composed by Max Rubin, Richard Munchkin, Bob Dancer, and James Groshen, probably three, four of the sharpest minds in gaming, and they are
Right.
unbelievable. And there's 20 questions, and the per people who get to go to the final table get, I think, 10 right was the to get you to the final table. I got 8 right, and I think I would have got 10 right to get at least a shot at the final table. But two of the questions were very worded very funny. Now, one of the most interesting aspects was there's a guy named Bill Bentner who is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. And
But
Bill,
there are another 10 you got wrong.
yes, there's another 10 that everybody got wrong. But
All right.
moving on from that for a moment, one of the questions orbited around a guy named Bill Bentner. Bill Bentner is one of the most successful horse racing bettors ever. He's worth
Oh, they're not just blackjack
no
questions.
no no they're on all gaming knowledge in general, some math questions and whatnot, but there are this man is worth just buku bucks. And he runs a foundation in Pittsburgh, the Bettner Foundations, which does a lot of great work for a lot of different causes around the world. But Bill Bettner, in his spare time, guess what this guy likes to do in his spare time? Just take a shot.
Sunbathe naked?
No, he drives for Uber.
Wow.
A man worth millions
Well,
upon millions of
that's
dollars.
kind of equivalent to sunbathing naked, isn't it? That's like
Well,
doing nothing.
I wouldn't know, but a man
Well, not
drew.
doing nothing. Sorry, all Uber drivers. I know you do drive people around and make money, but I mean in comparison, right?
Right. Well, in his spare time, I asked him why he wanted to do it. And I probably suggested, well, it was just kind of a type of a social experiment just to see what happens. He's like, yeah, pretty much. He said
And
that
just for the
it's.
record, I just need to interrupt. I'm so sorry. For anyone that does not know, we're recording this show Anzac Day in Australia. So you're going to hear aeroplanes and you're going to hear them spinning in the air and helicopters and all the rest of it as the military performs all of their, because I live near a military base. Anyway, continue.
So, in any event, I asked him if it was type of a social experiment, and he said yes, it was. So he just wanted to see how hard it was for you to, become an Uber driver, and it was actually really easy. He said you just take a picture of your driver's license, you send it to him, they run a background check, and if you pass the background check, they go ahead and sign you up, and you download the app. Easy peasy.
Wow.
Yeah, so very minimal requirements. He said he'd never interacted with anybody from Uber, never had any email conversations with anybody from Uber. It's just a very decentralized type of work. 'Cause
That's pretty crazy. You've
yeah.
got women like me jumping in cars with what could be anyone. A little background check doesn't mean anything. I'm sure
Exactly.
half of the world's serial killers all have background checks.
Well, I wouldn't know
None
about
of them are
that.
caught, of course. Well, no,
Right.
they obviously they're not serial. Well, they're serial killers until they get caught. My point is that, no one knows they're a serial killer, do they? Till they
Right.
get caught.
Right. So it was just kind of an interesting social experiment that he was doing, and I got that one wrong. I thought the Blackjack Hall of Famer that would have been more likely would be a guy named Darryl Purpose, who's a very talented folk singer and Blackjack Hall of Fame member, And he lives in San Francisco, so I was thinking, well, maybe that's probably, more inclined to do that. So, but in any event,
Right.
I was wrong on that particular count. But after you pass the questions and they get it down to the final, five or six people, they do a skill set test. Cutting cards, how many cards are there? How fast can you count down a deck, and so on and so forth. And the winner of this year's Blackjack Ball was a guy named Pete C, who is a very talented and longtime Advantage player and has been doing it for years. I know his last
Pete
name.
what?
Pete, everybody calls him Pete C. I know who he is. A lot of people know
Pete
who.
C as in ocean.
No, just Pete as a letter C. That is not his. That
Oh,
that's
okay.
it's
Right, right, right. Gotcha, gotcha,
it's
gotcha.
not his real name, but.
I didn't know if you meant Petesy as in that's his first name, because, like in Australia, there's like Donzie and Petesy and Davey, and,
Right.
we kind of give. I thought you meant Petesy, and then I thought you meant Pete Csea, but I
Yeah.
got it. It's not his.
Well, it's not his real name because we just,
No.
we try to keep things anonymous there. But
Right, right.
he won what they call the Groshene Cup, and the Groshene Cup is named after James Groshene, who is the who is banned from playing in the World's Greatest Blackjack Ball event because he took first. Once you win it three times, you can no longer compete in it. Him and Richard
Right.
Munchkin, I believe, are the only two to have won it three times. And the second place trophy, obviously, is called the Munchkin Trophy.
Way to go, guys.
They're very, very
Three
talented people.
times each. That's fabulous. And what's
Yes.
the Munchkin Trophy? Second
Second
place.
place, correct. So,
And who won the Munchkin Trophy?
I don't recall. I do not recall off the top of my head.
Too much champagne.
I wasn't really paying attention too closely because, I mean, literally everybody crowds around there. And yes,
Okay, right.
and we have also we one of the an attendee of the actually we'll get to that in a second. But after that's all done and we have the desserts and the blackjack ball cake and whatnot, we the party heads over to a well-known player's house and we partied long until the early morning of the hour till about 2:33 a.m. And everybody goes home, gets some sleep, and the next day. Is
Hold on a
it, what's
second.
that?
Did you just actually say until approximately 2:33
No,
a.m.?
2:30 or 3 o'clock a.m. is when the party
Oh,
starts.
okay.
Yes,
Right. Oh,
two.
right.
Yeah, you tried to see if there was some kind of special number. Two
Right.
thirty-three.
I'm
No,
like, why are you saying 2:33 a.m.? That's a bit
no,
strange.
no, no, no. But the after party is at Richard Munchkin's house, and him and his wife throw a great party from like 2 to about 9 or 10. 2 p.m. to 9 or 10 the following day. And it's just a very casual event. Now, the nice thing about the after party is a lot of people who don't make it to the blackjack ball are there because
Right.
there is only a limited number of seats because it is a dinner and it's a very formal event. Not
Right,
everybody
right.
can make it. And not everybody makes a cut to the invites. So at that place there is a very casual and a lot of people get together and talk and mingle and it's just a very casual environment where people you don't have to worry
So that
about
people
people.
like me can go there.
Yes, exactly. People like you. Now, speaking of some people
Right.
who showed up,
The dummies.
not the dummies. They're everybody who goes to either event is respected in the industry and has made a contribution in one point or another. So it's yeah. But some of the attendees, including Bob Nersesian, the gaming lawyer, who's that, by the way, is the only
Yeah, I
non
kind of sort of spoke about him
yeah,
earlier.
he's the only non-player ever to be inducted into the Blackjack Hall of Fame because of his great track record and willingness to take on the casinos.
So basically, he's kept your asses out of trouble, and therefore, that's kind of doing a great thing for the Blackjack Society.
Well, the blackjack community, or the Advantage gaming community, not just the blackjack community, it's the gaming community in
Right.
general. Because obviously casinos don't like it when we have an edge, and they'll do everything to discourage us. But we just keep
Right.
trucking on, Bob always says the greatest advantage play he has is litigation because he's probably taken tens of millions of dollars over the years, tens of millions of dollars from casinos because of their just
Doing the wrong thing.
yes, exactly. Sometimes their actions
Yeah, see,
do
that wouldn't
cross the line.
happen here.
Well, unfortunately we
Different country, different rules.
right, yes. So and another couple of players obviously that attend Alan Schoonmaker was at the after party, our guest last week.
Right.
Blair Rodman was there, the poker player.
Poker player,
Yes,
yes.
Andy Block attends the ball, not only because of his superior poker ability, but also he was one of the original funders and managers of the MIT Blackjack teams years ago,
Nice.
sometimes in the
Right.
90s. So chronicled by the movie 21 and the book Bringing Down the House, New York Times bestseller book. So a lot of good stuff, as well as a Australian native who is also in the Blackjack Hall of Fame, Jelko Rancic.
Yay,
Yes,
Aussie,
yeah.
Aussie,
Oi, oi, oi. Yes. Jelko is a very hands-down, probably the most successful gambler ever. He's long moved away from the casinos, but he does a lot of good work in charities and things like that, foundations, and just genuinely a decent guy. For someone with that type of success, both financially and industrial in an industry, it's very rare to see that.
uncommon,
Yes, very rare to
yes,
see a
indeed.
man with that type of forethought and insight to give back to the
Especially
community.
an Australian. No
Yes.
offense, Australian men. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Speaking of Australian men, though, well, Australian women too. So you told me there's no women that have. And what about Australians?
Well, Australians who attended.
No, Australians who are in the Hall of Fame
Well,
and the
as far as I know,
Australians.
Jelko is the only one. Jelko Rancic is the only person in the
Right,
Blackjack
that's
Hall of Fame.
it.
Yes, but
And how
again,
many are there? How many
there's I
are in
think
the Hall of Fame?
now I'd say there's probably between 23 and 25. I'm not exactly sure what the exact number is. Now, the Blackjack Hall of Fame is located at the Borona Casino in San Diego. It's on an Indian reservation. It's a great casino with just phenomenal blackjack tables and things like that. But the thing is though that if you attend the blackjack ball,
I
because
know this rule. I know this
yes,
rule.
if you attend the blackjack ball and you are a player, you are not allowed to play at the Borona Casino. That's just the rule because the Borona
The
Casino.
Verona's smart.
Yes, the Borona does sponsor it, and they do subsidize a lot of the cost for that. So it's a and if you get inducted to the Blackjack Hall of Fame and your picture is on the wall, you, as a Blackjack Hall of Fame member and inductee, get free room, food, and beverage for life at the Borona
So
Casino.
long as you don't play there, so
As
long as you
long,
don't
yeah, as
play,
long as you
you shall
don't,
be
as
going.
yes, you
So
can't.
hold on a second. There's something that I'm sure everyone's going to be wondering. So you just said if you get your photo on the wall, would not a lot of blackjack players not want their photos up on the wall? How does
Well,
that
you
work?
got to remember, a lot of the players who make it into the Blackjack Hall of Fame are long moved away from the game. They've made their money and
Right.
they're doing something else. So it's
Okay.
not really that
Yeah.
big of a hit for them.
Okay, got it,
That
got
make
it. All
sense?
right.
So,
Yeah, that makes
there are a
sense.
couple players who are still active, but they take precautions and changing their appearance and for the pictures and the photos on the wall. But
Like,
again,
see ya.
yes, like see ya. See ya later, see ya.
I think we should dress you up as a girl.
Yeah, I'm not that handsome of a man. I don't think I'd be twice as ugly. That's probably the world's ugliest woman, no doubt.
Right. Well, that will make you definitely stand out, so that
Yeah.
probably won't work.
Yeah, so in any so that's how things work at the Blackjack
Yeah, that's
Ball.
cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting event, and it's something that we look forward to every year. And Max does a great job, Richard does a great job as well, both with the main event and the after party. Now, Richard Munchkin is also the author of a great book called Gambling Wizards, and it's
Oh.
conversations
So many authors.
Yes, well, a lot of bragging
Nearly everyone
rights.
we speak about is an author. Do you
Well,
have any books published?
me?
Yes, you.
No, I don't have any books published, but I'm working on
What about
one.
like co-authored or anything?
No. I've written several academic papers and articles and whatnot, but I'm working on my
Well, I'm
first
a
book.
step ahead of you with something,
Yes, you
finally.
are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
With that said, however, I'm sure you'll beat that one day.
Yes. Well, one can hope if I ever get off my tush and do it. But Gambling Wizards is a great book. Just on the insights of gambling wizards, of great gamblers and how they think and whatnot. Now, Richard Munchkin is also both Richard Munchkin and his brother are world champion backgammon players, and they know Gus Hansen. And you know, because Gus, everybody knows Gus Hansen was a champion backgammon player. Which is, backgammon is a game of strategic insights, and which it kind of goes well with gaming. So
I
that,
like chess.
yes, chess is just
Jennifer
infinitely more.
Chardy, she's a female world champion, I think, chess player, or I don't know, the highest ranked female, something like that. But anyway, regardless, she calls out lots of chess tournaments. We're also a fabulous poker player.
Does she,
Anyway.
yes. Does she dress up like a man when she plays chess?
Oh, absolutely not. She's the most beautiful woman. Why would she want to do that?
I don't know. Just that's a poor attempt at humor, I suppose. But in any event, that's pretty much how things go with the with the blackjack ball. It's a great event. We have a great time, and everybody looks forward to it every year. Now, that being said, we're kind of wrapped up with that. What I want to talk about, Danielle, is
I want to talk about all this crazy casino news, but
well,
continue.
what kind of casino news are you talking about?
Well, there's lots of things happening.
Oh,
Like, what?
well, recently, like in Las Vegas area.
Oh, no, all around the world. I'm not going to be Las Vegas biased.
Okay, well, in Las Vegas, let me tell you, something has happened recently. The Suncoast has closed their poker room.
There's news.
Yes, and they were giving away all sorts of money the other day. And Alan Schoonmaker asked me if I wanted to go play there because someone hit a straight flush to the eight with a spade, and it got paid $2,300. Now, interesting enough, something happened that I didn't know. A few hours later, someone hit a straight flush to the eight with a club, and they did not pay it out because in that situation, the suit ranking comes into play. A
Ah,
spade is a higher
it's higher
ranking
rank.
than a
Yeah,
club.
wow.
I didn't know. Now, I knew that in was it is it Pinochle or that where that's the case, or there's another game where that's the case, but I
Well,
didn't know.
no, that's not the case in poker.
Well, it will
Only when it's things like that.
okay, that's
Say
how.
it's pocket aces versus pocket aces, as an example. Well, that's not okay. That's not a good example because they're not the same suit. Okay, so. Is it possible to no? Okay, I can't give an example
Okay. Well,
because
like,
it's not possible, obviously.
well, what
How can
if,
you
well,
get
if
two
some,
straight flushes of
well, if someone has a
in
straight, if someone has a flush with a spade, ace of spade, and someone has a flush with the ace of
That's not
hearts.
possible. That's what
Oh,
I'm
that,
trying to
oh,
explain.
in five card poker, yes, there is,
Right,
but
right.
in like a two, in any flop game, it can't be done.
No,
Right, at least on the
correct.
same hand. I mean, when you have high
No,
hands and things like
correct.
that, you can do. So that's
Right.
a, so that's some interesting news. And
Well, there's
also,
lots of news all over the world. I want to tell you that they're trying to actually, this is the Sunshine Coast in Australia, decide whether they should put in a convention centre or a casino.
where
Is
at?
that really a hard choice? The Sunshine Coast,
Okay.
Queensland, Australia. That's not a hard choice, is it?
Well, obviously, why don't they just put them both in with a casino resort with the convention center attached to it? That would make sense.
Yeah, well, that's what happens in Las Vegas, right? There's lots of conventions happening all the time. In
Exactly.
other casino news, specifically here, I have to tell you, this is why they may not want to do it. Because Packer, who is, the owner of Crown Casino in Melbourne and other things, he's under fire for tampering with poker machines. There's claims that
Really?
he's gone and done that. Yeah, by poker machines, I don't mean video poker, I mean slots, guys and girls. Something to do with the chips or something. So he's, Australians have obviously, and everyone that visits, it's obviously, it seems, been getting extorted.
Extorted, I think cheated would be a better term.
Cheated. So I always say extorted. On the other hand, there's states such as the ACT Canberra, who were planning to dump all of their poker machines, or being urged to. Same with Tasmania. So no more slots.
Oh, okay. Well, another
how crazy is that?
Another thing that's happened in Las Vegas is that the Green Valley Ranch in Las Vegas had, from what I'm hearing, has gone under a major restructuring on management. Some very high level executives at the casino have been either quit, fired, or forced to resign for some allegations that are pending litigation at this moment. I'm not sure how much we can talk about it right now because I do know the people involved. And
well,
like,
you shouldn't talk about
and,
it. It might ruin their case.
Well, I'm not going to, but I'm just saying there are things going on there, and everybody thinks that casinos are 100% on the up and up, and they are clearly not, just by the sheer number of litigation. And Green Valley Ranch
these
is a deal.
These people, I just have to ask one question, weren't involved in the shooting in relation to, you know, it's not like ex-employees of the Venetian, right?
No, so. No. Last, a couple of weeks ago, I don't, did we talk about that last week? Where the
no.
Okay, well, we'll just touch on that. So a couple of weeks ago, at a company picnic, a former or current Venetian employee, an employee of the Sands Corporation, who was a dealer, went on a rampage. Not a rampage, but shot some employees.
Oh, I call it a rampage.
Well, they brought a gun to a picnic and they shot some people up. Not the best way to do things, but obviously this man had some very serious mental issues he was dealing with, and I think they believe they finally apprehended him, and I haven't heard much about what's happening. At the very least, he's undergoing a psychological evaluation.
He's not a very rational person, is he?
Well, my guess is anyone who goes on a shooting rampage usually isn't. So,
speaking of court cases and irrational people, do you know that there's a woman who's suing her ex who dumped her after a $650,000 casino win? Would you do that?
Would
you
I
dump your girlfriend if you won $650,000?
Not 650, maybe 660,000 I would do it, but not 650.
Right.
That's not nearly enough. So wait, right. So why is she suing him?
He dumped her. He won $650,000 and dumped her. And so she's like, well, screw you. I want some money, asshole.
Why? What's the cause of action? Do you know?
Oh, no. And I'm not going to go right into detail reading all of the articles just to find out. I'll
read
it later. I can't remember.
My current guess is that she won. Now, an interesting case that I read, and I know for a fact is true, is that Dan Shack, when he divorced his wife,
shoe collection, yes.
Yeah, that she sued.
That.
Yes, he sued her for her shoe collection, which was valued at about $1 million. So, way to go, Dan.
Dubai. I have a question because this has come up in the news too. Do you see Dubai as a casino hub ever?
It's a very Islamic state, which is very anti-gambling, so unlikely. But then again, I don't know because Dubai owns quite a bit of MGM Corporation, so it's possible.
Right.
I just don't know. I don't know. But you know, we're getting towards wrapping up here, and I want to pose. I want to pose a question. Your dog Leo.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm lucky to have my dog Leo.
Yes, you.
He was dog napped yesterday.
And he was finally returned, right?
Yes, he was. He was dog napped from outside my bedroom window.
Right.
By the neck. Seems because his eye, you know, all these eye whites are all the blood vessels are busted and he's got a sore throat and whatever else. He was panicked when he got home. I don't know why someone would want to steal Leo other than to put their arm back through my fucking window again.
Oh, that's tone it down a couple
steps.
That's
the first F-bomb I've dropped.
Okay, in 4 or 5 shows, that's not bad. But anyway, I've met Leo. He's a wonderful dog, very obedient, and I know he was the mascot of your last show. Do we make
yes.
Should we make him the mascot of our new show?
We should. The Adventures of Leo. Every week we'll update what's happening with Leo so that everyone knows.
Yes.
Leo and his. Leo is the only dog in the world, just for anyone that's listening and thinks that this is crazy, that has been partially taught to play poker. Yes, I'm not joking. I'm being serious. You know, to like, no, I'm serious. And he beat me with, of all hands, K9.
That is too funny. How'd you do? Well, we're going to talk more about that next time. But until then, this is Dr. Nick.
And the hot Aussie chick, who's feeling much better. Yay, go me.
Okay, so we'll talk next week, which we'll probably have a guest.
No more guests. Let's not
Yes.
talk about guests unless we go, guess what? We've got a surprise. No, I don't want to do that again.
All right. We'll definitely do that. But I'm working on getting someone there. So this is Dr. Nick and the Hot Aussie Chicks signing off. And until next week, aces and
Yeah,
faces.
goodbye.
Bye bye.
Goodbye, goodbye.